Today we're continuing on in a series called Been There, meaning, for the most part, whatever pain you're facing, whatever challenge you're enduring, Jesus has been there. And today, specifically, we're going to be talking about when you just want to quit. You want to throw in the towel. But I want to encourage you today in that you got this. It's going to be okay. Don't quit. I know many of us would say we don't want lives that are full of pain, full of heartache, questioning. Nobody would want that. But there's a conundrum in our life, and I'll explain it like this. Anything worth doing is going to be hard. And when we face opposition, a lot of times we find ourselves wanting to quit. But the problem is, you can never get to the end product if you don't go through the process of pain. Okay? So, I mean, you want to be a champion. Well, it's going to be hard. Want to be a good leader. It's hard. Want to be a parent. Whoa, that's hard. Want to be a person of character? That's hard. Start a business? Hard. You want to be a follower of Jesus? Hard. You've got to have that motivation, that desire to simply not quit. You know, Jesus himself didn't quit. He understands this idea of wanting to quit. We actually see this in Mark chapter 14. We see him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus says, "Abba, Father," he cried out, "everything is possible for you. Please, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Do you feel the tension? Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Now, to actually appreciate what exactly is going on here, we've got to go back a little bit. So, why don't you all come back with me, and let's start back over here at the Last Supper. What is the Last Supper? It's a moment where Jesus is with his disciples, and he's in this upper room. And what he's doing is they're enjoying a meal together and actually celebrating the Passover meal. And so they're enjoying some time. They get through with the Passover celebration and they're all kind of just sitting around the table and maybe they're talking about some of the miracles Jesus had done the previous couple of days or weeks, and what's happening, maybe about some of the excitement about, man, what's going to be coming. I mean, there's been some weird things Jesus has taught recently. I wonder what's coming up here with this whole Passover thing. What's going on? And they're just trying to figure it out. Well, Jesus stands up in the middle of this moment and he says to his disciples, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me." And you could have heard a pin drop in the room. Everybody's sitting there like, "What? Man, he just dropped that." And then Peter stands up and he says this. Look at what Peter says. Peter replies, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." Could you imagine how awkward it would be to be the disciple sitting in that room? I appreciate that, Peter. Yeah, even if all these guys fall away, I'm not going to, because I'm Peter. How awkward would it have been? Could you imagine how bizarre as a disciple that would have felt? You just got thrown under the bus. Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Ah, truly I tell you, this very night, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows." Peter then doubles down. He says, "Look, even if I have to die with you, I'm not going to fall away. Not going to happen." And the disciples kind of agree with him, like, "Yeah, let's go." Why is Peter so adamant? We've got to go back a little bit further. And Peter, back in Matthew 16, there was this moment where all the disciples are together with Jesus. And Jesus is asking them about, "Who do people say I am?" And so they're giving different replies to him, and then he just drops it down on him. He's like, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" Peter's like, "Oh, I got this." Peter stands up and he says, "Man, you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus replies, "Blessed are you, Simon, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter." He changes his name right there, okay? It's so significant of a truth. He changes his name from Simon to Peter. And he says, "Upon this rock, I'll build my church." But Peter was like, "That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I got it right. Y'all hear that? I'm the rock." That's why he was so adamant when Jesus said, "You're all going to fall away." Peter's like, "Mm-mm, because you remember me, I'm the rock, I got this. Remember, I got the question right. I'm not going anywhere." So, from the Last Supper, the Bible says they immediately went out to a place called the Garden of Gethsemane. So, they go out there. Jesus is overwhelmed in this time with heartache and trial and struggle, knowing what was coming. So we see him actually take a subset of the disciples. He takes Peter, James, and John, and they go out to the garden, and he says to them, "All right, listen, I need you to sit here and watch. Sit here and watch and pray." Peter's like, "Got it. I get it." The Bible says that he was overwhelmed, crushed in spirit to the point of death. It also records that he was sweating drops of blood. You feeling this now from our starting scripture? So Jesus tells Peter, James, and John, "Sit here. I'm going to go over and pray." And so he goes to pray, and we see the context of where we started now. Him saying, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup away from me, this cup of suffering. I don't want it. I want to quit. I'm done. But not what I want, what you want." So Jesus gets up and goes back over. They're asleep. Can you feel Jesus' desire to want to quit? The rock is sleeping. He says in Mark 14, look what he says. He returns then to his disciples, found them sleeping. He says, "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Just 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, I want you to notice something here. I love how Mark points this out. He says that he looks at and he says, Simon, he said to Peter. Do you see what just happened there? He called him Simon. Remember, I told you his name had changed to Peter, the rock. The problem was he wasn't acting like a rock right then. He may have been sleeping like a rock, but he wasn't acting like one. He was asleep. He had just had this, I got this, Jesus. They all might fall away, but not me. I'm with you to the end. I'll die for you, but I can't stay awake for you. He fell asleep. Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You ever felt that? You feel like my flesh is weak? I can't go on. My spirit really wants to do this. I want to be better. I want to be able to fix this. I want to be able to change this. I want to be able to have a great marriage. I want to be able to be a great parent. I want to be able to fill in the blank. Your flesh is weak. You just want to quit. Jesus has been there. Knowing everything that he had before him and his appointed leader was sleeping on the job. He goes back. He prays some more. He comes back a second time that, you know, somebody hit the snooze button again. They're sleeping. He wakes him up. He goes back to pray a third time. He comes back a third time. And the third time he's like, okay, guys, you've had your rest. Come on. The Son of Man's about to be betrayed. My betrayer is at hand. And the Bible says that they get up and they start leaving the garden. And when they do, immediately, a group of soldiers come to try to arrest Jesus. And one of them comes up to try to put their hands on Jesus to arrest him. And then Peter draws his sword and cuts the ear of the high priest's servant, Malchus, off. Jesus then turns around and looks at Peter. And he says, stop. Put your sword away. And I love what he says. He says, shall I not drink from the cup of suffering that the Father has given me? Again, the resolve in Jesus' mind. I will drink the cup of suffering. I will not quit. I will not quit. Now, before we understand, before we kind of like throw stones at Peter, think about it. You're supposed to be the leader. You've been given a name change. You're the rock. You make a bit of a fool of yourself and you stand up in a dinner party and you're like, they may all go away, but I'm not going to. I'm pledging my allegiance well beyond anything they can do. I'm here with you. Remember, I'm the one that said who you were. I'm the rock. I'm not going anywhere. Then I can't even stay awake. How ridiculous. I'm sitting there telling him I'll die for him, and I can't even stay awake for him. Three different times. Imagine the third time it happened. Immediately, Scripture said. They got up and they started going. I can only imagine Peter's frustration with himself. Why am I so, why can I not just stay awake? What's wrong with me? I'm just asked this simple task, and I can't even stay awake. He's so frustrated. He's like, I'm going to prove I'm the rock. And so here come the guards. Jesus sees them. He goes, okay, I get it. This is that point of death thing right here. Give me my sword. And he cuts the guy's ear off, only to have Jesus rebuke him again. He can't win. He's just like, that's it. This is terrible. I'm horrible. And in that moment, the disciples scatter. They're gone. Jesus is alone with the guards, being taken to trial. And he says, in the face of suffering, will I not drink this cup? The resolve Jesus had. Why? It's because he knew there was no other way. There was no other way. It alleviates any other way for there to be a way to be made right with God, because Jesus would have taken that way. Jesus said, is there anything else that can happen? Please. Because if that's the case, let's do that. But Jesus knew there was no other way. So I will not quit. I have resolved to go all the way through with this. So Jesus then gets arrested, and he's taken to the temple courts to stand trial. All the disciples scatter. Peter follows along behind. I can kind of vision Peter going from bush to bush, tree to tree, hiding out, trying to stay within visual sight to see where they're going to take him, what's going to happen. And he's saying, I'm such an idiot. I stayed asleep. Then I cut the guy's ear off. That wasn't right. I don't know what to do. But I don't want to desert him like everybody else, even though he's kind of alone right now. And they get to the temple courts. And so Peter lurks over in the shadows, and he tries to get close enough to kind of hear what's happening in there, and what's the trial sounding like, and what's going to happen. But it's cold. It's cold that night. So Peter notices there's a fire. And so he's like, I'm going to go over and warm myself by it. And so he goes to the fire. And when he does, somebody's standing around the fire says, hey, hold on. You're with him. Aren't you with him? No, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not with him. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you mean. No, 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 no. You're with him. I know you are. I don't know that guy, okay? I'm not with him. A little bit of time goes by. Somebody else says, no, no, I know you were with him. You had to have been one of them. I'm telling you, I don't know that man. Luke 22 says that when he said that, the Lord's eyes and Peter's eyes connected. And then the rooster crowed. And Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Peter wants to quit. What do you want to quit on? Maybe a marriage? You're just ready to be done? You want to quit on your kids? Want to quit on God? Maybe you just kind of, like Peter, you want to just quit on yourself. I'm so thankful that Jesus didn't quit on us. Jesus has been there. He knows what it feels like to want to quit, and he endured. When those who loved him most left him, he didn't quit. When he was falsely accused, he didn't quit. when he experienced physical pain beyond what was even imaginable to us, he did not quit. When he was humiliated, stripped bare, and the creation was mocking the Creator, he didn't quit. Ultimately, culminating with the fact that Jesus had to die a sacrificial death on the cross to save us in our own depravity. He simply would not quit. He knew it was the only way to be made right with God. There was no way Jesus could ever quit. He will drink the cup of suffering because he knew there was nothing else to be done. No other way could be made right for people to be made right with God than his sacrificial death. And he loved his disciples too much to quit. And he loved Peter way too much to quit. And he loves you way too much to quit. And so he was abandoned, falsely accused, whipped, beaten, nailed to a cross with spikes through his wrists and his feet, stripped naked and put up there on a cross for everyone to hurl insults at. And he willingly chose so that we could find forgiveness. All the way to the finish line where in John 19, he exclaims in a loud voice and he cries out, "It is finished." And Jesus finished his work, but brought about forgiveness. He brought forth redemption. He brought forth the ability for us to have new life. He simply would not quit. But what about Peter? Because last time we checked in on Peter, he was weeping bitterly. Remember? He was pretty heartbroken. Well, there's several things that happened to Peter after that point. First, Peter actually got a neat experience of going to the tomb and seeing an empty tomb after Jesus was resurrected. It's recorded in the scripture. Another thing is that when the disciples were all together at breaking bread, Jesus appears to the disciples behind locked doors, talks to them, and then disappeared right in front of them. You know, whoa, what a cool party trick. Peter got to see all that. That was pretty neat. But perhaps the most important thing that actually happened to Peter was found in John 21. Here's how it happened. Peter and a few of the disciples went to the Sea of Galilee. And they were out there on the Sea of Galilee, hanging out on the shore. Why the Sea of Galilee? I don't know. Maybe a couple of different reasons. You see, before Peter was a disciple, he was a fisherman. And he was perhaps going back to where he actually kind of knew. The other thing that was kind of cool is that in Matthew 4, you actually see when Peter was fishing, Jesus actually called him when he was on the Sea of Galilee. Nonetheless, he's at the Sea of Galilee with a few of the disciples. And he looks on and he says, "You know what? I'm going fishing." Is Peter quitting? I don't know. He's certainly in that moment not preaching about Jesus. Here's the thing. He had seen the empty tomb. He had seen Jesus risen. So I don't really think he was quitting on his belief in God or the belief that Jesus was raised. I think he was quitting on himself. I think he was done, honestly. in Peter's mind, he's like, you know what? I stood up in front of all the disciples. I said, I got this. Even if all of them fall away, I'm here. And then I can't even stay awake in the garden. Then I'd chop a guy's ear off. I got that one wrong too. And then you know what? I denied him three times. I'm no rock. I'm nothing. You know what I am? You know what I am? I'm a fisherman. I'm going to go back to fish. So they go out to the sea and they fish all night long. Didn't catch a thing. And as the sun dawned across the, you know, and broke on the horizon over the Sea of Galilee, all of a sudden the disciples could see some fellas standing over on the shore. And he says, hey, how did you guys do last night? Nah, we didn't catch anything. They couldn't see that it was Jesus at that point. And Jesus tells them, hey, throw the net on the other side of the boat. And they do. And the catch is so large, they can't even pull it over into the boat. And John says, oh my gosh, it's Jesus. It's got to be. And Peter's like, are you kidding me? He jumps out of the boat into the lake and just starts swimming on his way over to the shore. And it's crazy. So what happens is all of a sudden, Jesus sits down on the shore. And the Bible says that a fire was already going and they had fish roasting. Jesus is sitting there. And this is crazy. The scripture says that everybody knew it was Jesus, but nobody wanted to say it. So there's this awkward breakfast on the Sea of Galilee. And you know, I mean, hey, if I were one of those disciples, I'd have been like, get him, Jesus. He going to get there and throw me under the bus? Tell me he can't even stay awake? Then he cuts feller's ear off. And then he denies you three times. Just like you said, get him. Let him know. That's what I'd have been thinking. Nonetheless, everybody wondered, what was Jesus going to say? So they sit. And finally, Jesus breaks the silence over the smoldering coals. He looks over at Peter and he says, Simon, notice what he called him, Simon, do you love me more than these? What a question. There were two things to point out. That first, he said, really? You love me more than all of them? Because remember, Peter had said, I'm going to stay around, even if they all fall away. And Jesus said, really? Do you love me more than them? The word love Jesus used right there is a word called agape. It means an unconditional love, one that God has for humanity. Peter replies with the word phileo. It's a different word for love. He says, Lord, I phileo you. That is a deep brotherly kinship love that you can have for someone. But it's shy of agape. Peter's feeling it. Second time, Jesus says, Simon, do you agape me? He left off the more than these, the second question. He just said, do you agape me? Peter says, Lord, I phileo you. Third time, he says, Simon, do you phileo me? Jesus changed his word for love for Peter. And Peter says, Lord, you know I phileo you. Jesus met Peter right where he was. Peter had denied Jesus three times. Jesus forgave Peter three times. You know, I think it's amazing. A lot of times in Christian circles, Christians can run around and have a lot of forgiveness for unbelievers, but no forgiveness for believers. I'm thankful that we serve a God who has enough forgiveness for both. So in that moment, Jesus then looks over at Peter and he says, "It's going to get hard. It's going to be really difficult, but I want you to follow me." Peter, don't quit. I can hear it in Jesus' voice. Peter, don't quit. Don't get on that boat. I know you feel like you're not enough, Peter, but don't quit. I know, Peter, what it feels like to experience loss, but don't quit. I know the sting of betrayal, Peter, but don't quit. You see, Jesus was not wrong when he called Peter the rock. Peter just had to go through a process of pain in order to become the rock that God needed him to be. Because you see, in the context of that forgiveness, all of a sudden, a new day of service dawned for Peter because Peter didn't quit. In fact, not very long after that, he was actually the preacher for Pentecost, where he delivered, arguably, one of the most transformative messages in all of the New Testament, where 3,000 people got saved. You could say, on the other side of your pain, there is a Pentecost coming if you don't quit. If you don't quit. So, you want a great marriage? Don't quit. You feel like you want to stop praying for that person? Don't quit. Are you having a hard time connecting with God right now? Don't quit. Keep pressing. Keep seeking. Do you want to give up on yourself like Peter failed one too many times? You feel like Jesus can forgive more than you can fail. Don't quit. In your weariness? No. Jesus has been there and he knows what it feels like when you want to quit. But he persevered all the way to the end, to where he could say, "It is finished, and forgiveness has come." So, don't quit. I mean, seriously, don't quit. Let us pray. So, Father, we're thankful you didn't quit on us. We're thankful that you've give it us the example and marked out the path of how not to quit. And so, God, we pray that in those moments where we do want to do nothing more than just give up, we pray you would give us the strength. We pray you would cry, that we could cry out to you and that you would answer and that you would be exactly what we need in that moment to accomplish what you want for us to do. Lord, help us. Give us strength to persevere. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.